Welcome to another episode of Banking on Air. My name is Marcel, and I'm the host at Vacuum Labs, a solution-based tech powerhouse. We believe that the future is in communities when it comes to digital transformation and financial services. If you're interested in hearing more about fintech, digital banking, or payments, please don't hesitate to subscribe. So today on the line, I have Nicholas from Amurgo. Welcome.
Thank you, Marcel. Happy to be here.
Welcome, Nicholas. You're the CTO of Amurgo. Can you tell us a bit more about how Amurgo fits into the crypto and blockchain ecosystem?
Yeah, sure. Amurgo is part of a blockchain well-known out there called Cardano. And Cardano is actually not one company, but it's a group of three different companies. And one of them is Amurgo, where I'm the CTO. Amurgo does investments, education, enterprise development, among other things. And this is how we collaborate with Cardano. And so most of my work is related to Cardano. It's like pretty cool to be able to be working in the crypto space.
So from the perspective of your day-to-day job, what does the CTO do at Amurgo?
Basically, we have like multiple projects running, and I'm like responsible for overseeing most of the projects that we are working on and also supporting some research for like future projects that we may develop. I need to be everywhere and get to understand everything pretty well because usually people have me there to ask me like the tough.
So what is blockchain?
Blockchain is this technology that allows multiple participants to agree in a specific thing that happened. And this is pretty cool because usually when you have information, you have this person did this or this happened. And more concrete examples, when you have multiple companies collaborating together, you need to have some sort of like trust or a way to be able to group the information together. And this gets to be tricky when you have like multiple databases and synchronization is. So this is when blockchain helps, when you have multiple sources creating information and blockchain makes everything like simple and easy to digest. I think it's like a pretty cool technology that's like creating a lot of new possibilities, especially in the crypto space, but also we are seeing some other possibilities more of like the enterprise part that doesn't have the crypto part.
Yeah, so when you ask most people and you ask them about blockchain or cryptocurrency, most of them probably mention Bitcoin or Ethereum. But the way I see it, you and your ecosystem is almost like a third age of crypto. It sort of started with Bitcoin, it moved on to Ethereum, and now we're sort of in the Cardano age of blockchains. Can you tell me a bit more about Cardano, the ecosystem, and how it is different from its predecessors?
Sure. That's an interesting concept that you mentioned with like third generation. So first generation cryptocurrency is something like Bitcoin, that basically you have a token and you can send and receive this token, but doesn't have, for example, smart contract capabilities in terms of Turing complete, that you can like create programs on top of this token. And this is something that was possible with Ethereum. You have in Ethereum this phase token, which is Ether, and then you can create like even other tokens that use like Ethereum as a way to make this network work. But Ethereum was like a great proof of concept of seeing like, oh, if we have a cryptocurrency with more like coding and programming capabilities, is this something helpful? And we have seen that there is a lot of like innovation going on. But then we started seeing other problems that you only see when this is like in action. So how we can make this like actually not work with only like 15 transactions per second, but actually with hundreds of transactions per second. Also, the protocol is working, but we need to do more updates. Who is going to pay for this? Usually with cryptocurrencies, when you start the project, you do the distribution, but then if someone is going to be working on this in a decentralized manner, who pays this person to update the protocol? This is like a common thing that benefits everyone. Where is the money coming from? So that's another of the issues. And also something that we are seeing is that there are like multiple projects with like different things going on. And sometimes it's like pretty interesting that you are able to communicate between different solutions, because maybe there's not going to be one clear winner. So it's going to be important for the entire ecosystem that one blockchain can communicate with another one and you can send tokens. And this could be like similar to banks. Even if you have your money in one bank, you should be able to send it to another bank and they can communicate with them, even if they're in another country or even in another continent. These are some of the issues that are part of the second generation. And that's why Cardano is important as a third generation to be able to solve like sustainability, scalability, security, and interoperability, which was some of the things that I touched there. So we did this proof of concept for the second generation, and now with the third generation, we are going to be ready to tackle real world problems and scale up the blockchain industry.
Wonderful. So you mentioned banks as a potential use case, but I know essentially blockchain or Cardano could have many different use cases. I mean, thinking of supply chain management, healthcare, various sciences. Are there any examples of the ones that you worked on or that you just feel are really cool and that people should know about?
Yeah, there's some like really cool use cases, and some of them that we have been working on is, for example, in supply chain with coffee producers. So something that's going on is that for coffee, you have different qualities of coffee depending how you grow your coffee. For example, in a specific region in Indonesia, in Sumatra, if you grow the coffee like 3 kilometers above the level of the ocean in a specific latitude, you get like a really, really good type of coffee. But usually what happens with the supply chain is that you need trust in other entities, and some companies want to be like, what can I do for you to trust myself so I can sell you coffee beans, because I have like a really good quality of coffee beans, and to be able to assure that this is what you're expecting. So in this case, blockchain is pretty good because we can be able to track different parts of the supply chain. For example, if you are producing 100 kilos of coffee, you're not going to be able to duplicate it to 200. So you can be consistent with what you have. And also, because we're like tracking how everything moves, we can add points of validations for like different parts. So for example, it's common in the coffee process that also you're going to have cuppers, which are like wine tasters, people that specialize in like trying coffee, so they can tell you for sure that something is in a certain quality and the quality hasn't been mixed up or downgraded with other type of grains. Blockchain makes all of this easier to implement, and I use it with other technologies, but it's more work. And at the end, engineering is about like making things more efficient, and this is like a great solution for that.
Absolutely. So it's really a way for manufacturers to really manage the supply chain, right? To have an audit trail to see what has happened, how the coffee has traveled, where it was produced, and have an independent body to audit process. That's really cool. So that you can really tell that the data hasn't been tampered with and that you're really getting stuff directly from the source, from X to Y to Z. It can be proven. It's almost like you're a detective that's sort of trying to figure out how things happened. Yeah, that's really cool. Is that a fair summary of that?
Yeah, that's a pretty good summary. And so this is having a good impact for every industry that have a trust problem. And for some of them, they're like pretty big, like in coffee. What I'm expecting is that this is going to be seen in industries as well. So for example, with soy, with beef, with so many other things that are mostly related to food.
Switching back to where we started. So you mentioned banks, financial services. Do you see a future where blockchain will deeply impact financial services?
Blockchain for this could be like quite good because internet is like this network of data, and blockchain could be like this network for like financial assets where everyone is talking in the same platform. So it could help doing all of this. We have seen that you can have digital dollars in the blockchain, and it's quite amazing. You can send this so easily. And we even invested in a project that's helping people in need in various countries like Kenya, Vanuatu, receiving humanitarian aid. And it's done using digitized dollars in the blockchain, which is quite amazing.
Great. So what do you see as the most serious competition to Cardano right now, Nick?
This is a great question. And something that I highly believe in is that if you want to be better than another platform, incremental improvements are not enough. You actually need to be like 10 times better. And usually you only get to be 10 times better if you do something completely different. I don't know how well these platforms going to do. Usually Cardano takes most of my time, but I have seen some interesting stuff that they are doing. The first one that is a platform that's doing something for me pretty unique is Blockstack. So basically they're piggybacking on top of Bitcoin to be able to create blocks and to incentivize the block creation. They are giving rewards in Bitcoin, in Satoshis, which is like super interesting. So they are like building a smart contract layer on top of Bitcoin. We have heard of multiple platforms doing this, like Rootstock, but the best of my knowledge, like Blockstack is the first one that actually was able to ship. We will see how they will evolve. The next one that I found really interesting, but also I don't know that much about them, is Solana. So what Solana was able to do is that they're compromising in decentralization, but what they're gaining is like they're able to have
a crazy amount of transactions, thousands of transactions per second. And also the price per transaction is like nano cents, something like really cheap. A couple of weeks ago, they have an issue where the network like halt and they were not creating blocks, but they solve it. So I don't know some of the trade-offs that they put in place to be able to have this level of transaction at this level of price. It's definitely centralized, similar to EOS in comparison with Cardano. I haven't seen anyone doing something even like close in terms of flexibility, security. We will see in terms of smart contracts, how's like the adoption with Cardano. I think Plutus could be quite interesting with a function programming language, but this is, we will see.
That's very interesting. So Nick, what is your take on decentralized finance? It's been experiencing unprecedented growth in the past few months. Lots of people talking about it, lots of people involved in it. Is it really sustainable? Do you see decentralized finance as something that will continue to grow, or is it something that's going to fall behind?
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So just to mention what is DeFi, stands for decentralized finance. And the name is a little bit confusing because what is decentralized finance? Right now, it's mostly two concepts like open finance that anyone can have access to, and that they are built on top of a decentralized platform. Basically, most of DeFi is the use case right now is like lending and borrowing. For lending is that you can get like really cheap loans. And for example, in the traditional world, getting a loan requires like a credit score check, identification. It takes some time. And usually they are like above 20% interest rate are like sort of expensive. We have seen now in crypto that if you collateralize your loans with crypto, you can get something cheaper, and you have solutions like BlockFi where you can get loans for like 12.5%. And then we see the centralized solution, for example, with MakerDAO and DAI, where you can get loans for like 3% and they have been as low as 0.5%. There are multiple reasons why someone will ask a loan, but this is like part of the system. The second part is the people giving liquidity for this lending. And for this, the interest is that if you have crypto, maybe you can get some interest rate on top of it. And this is the interesting part that this like getting a lot of attention. It's not so much about the part of like, maybe in my opinion, to borrow money, but to be able to get interest with the money that you have. And we have seen multiple platforms like building on top of this. And usually if you analyze where's the money coming from, is to be able to answer if this is sustainable. Usually they come from two sources. The first one, platform usage fees. And the second one is about the interest rate paid by the people asking for loans.
So what would you consider to be the most crucial components of these DeFi systems? Is there something people should really focus on that's the most crucial of them all?
I think it could be like having to start a building. You need like really basic stuff for all the different blockchains. But after you have that, you need to start thinking on the next thing. So to put this in like more practical term, everyone that wants to develop a like a DeFi ecosystem is going to need oracles. What are oracles? It's basically this platform, or it could be like a smart contract, or it could be like something that helps you to be able to read prices or read information inside the blockchain in a smart contract, information that's from outside. What this means, so for example, you want to tokenize and have an algorithm that's going to follow the US dollar, and you're going to be using, for example, the native currency to collateralize this, something similar, basically a stablecoin, MakerDAO. You will need an oracle system that's going to be telling you what is the price between Ethereum and the dollar, so you can like make your algorithm work. So oracle is the first thing that I will think of. The second one is that usually you would like to have creating some movement around, and for that usually a lot of people trade, and what we have is that usually the dollar is like medium exchange, and when there's too much volatility in the ecosystem, a lot of people move towards dollars as like a storage of value. So having dollars in the ecosystem is like quite important, and sometimes we see that for stable coins, maybe another time we could talk more about it, but they're like, there's not a one solution fit all, but it's something like really required in the system. And some of the stablecoin solutions also are able to do the system with the lending and borrowing.
So moving forward to Amurgo, has Amurgo launched any of its own products, apps, or anything like that?
Yeah, for example, we have a crypto wallet, which is called Yoroi. It's available for desktop, like Linux, Mac, Windows, and also for iOS and Android. And right now we are around like 100,000 users. And it's a lot of responsibility. And we continue to bring more updates and more features that we are implementing in Cardano to Yoroi. Unlike other wallets out there, you want to use it because you can take the benefits from Cardano. So for example, Cardano around 4 months ago launched a proof of stake. So actually we don't work like Bitcoin or Ethereum, which is with proof of work, but actually we work with proof of stake. So this means that you can delegate your ADA, which is the basic cryptocurrency of Cardano. So for example, for Ethereum, there is Ether, for Bitcoin, there is Bitcoin, and for Cardano, there is ADA. So you can delegate your ADA and get rewards for participating in the securing the network. This is something that involves more technical things, and not so many wallets allow to do that. So that's one of the benefits from Yoroi.
Great. So you mentioned Yoroi as the wallet, and that's really where our journey started as Vacuum Labs and Amorgo. So as some people might know, we built a wallet called ADA Lite, which was purely a web-based, browser-based wallet. And this was something that we built internally because our CTO is a big believer in Cardano and ADA. So this was driven from the inside, and that really started our journey together, right?
Yeah, like a fun fact, like when I heard that someone had like built a wallet for Cardano, I was so curious. And I was like, there is some part of that, how they do it? Because there is not like a good documentation for that. And then when I started like the code, because it was open source, oh my God, they were like reverse engineering how everything worked. Oh my God, this guy's really good. And I really believe in show and don't tell. So when you guys did this, we're like, I need to meet these guys. They're quite good. And we are always looking to be able to work with really good engineers. That's why I met you guys. And then right away, I had like, oh, we want to develop all these projects. We were looking for someone like you. We have been even interviewing other companies, but we are always like, And so I felt pretty lucky that we crossed, and I was curious enough to review your wallet and realize that some of the technical decisions that you have taken were pretty solid. That's why we started with our first project together, which was like the first version of Yoroi for iOS.
Beautiful. So I'm curious, what is it that made you say no to other vendors and go after us and convince you that we're the right people for the job?
A lot of people tell you, oh yeah, no problem, I can understand that, I'm going to study and I'm going to learn. Everyone says everything the same. When someone actually has been through the trenches and has seen all the difficult part and already understands something, it makes a lot of difference. And a lot of people even will say like, oh yeah, I understand blockchain because I have done this project. But unless you push yourself with something difficult, I'm not sure if you're actually capable of that. So that was something that you guys went through. And yeah, I was quite surprised that you were able to like accomplish everything that even wasn't documented. So I couldn't get any better than this. And that's why I was really interested in being able to work with you, because it's difficult to find people that actually know blockchain. Right now, if you put blockchain, you're going to see in LinkedIn hundreds of people saying blockchain expert. You should run away from those ones, because no expert will ever put expert in their like title. The companies that actually understand something in the deeper level are like not that many. We have been looking for all over the world. Yeah, I feel pretty happy. And that's why besides Yoroi, we have been continuing working in more projects. And every time that we are like, oh, we need to do more projects and we are not hiring as fast as we can.
This is great. So is there any specific idea around blockchain that you really would like to try out that nobody has tried out yet? Is there a right opportunity to start right now? Do you have something like that?
I have like an idea that we have been working with the team. I cannot tell all the details because we are still implementing it. But right now, there is a really cool concept out there, which is stable coins. And everyone is following the concept of MakerDAO, which basically means that if you want to create dollars in the blockchain, you need to have a collateral. What this means is that you cannot create something from thin air. And a collateral in the blockchain could be a crypto asset. So basically it means that maybe you can put like X amount of a crypto asset. And then if you over collateralize by in total 150%, you can create 100% of dollars. If the price goes down, you need to put more crypto That way, it's always going to be collateralized. So the dollars are backed by something. Everyone has been following the same concept. And right now, what we are aiming is to be able to create something that doesn't work with liquidations and is working away from like the MakerDAO concept. We will see how it's going to work. This is one of like the things, but also another thing, like people that are unbanked or semi-bank, crypto could be the solution, because right now it's so easy to just have an app on your cell phone that could receive dollars. And you don't even need to know that this is using blockchain. And this is the amazing thing, that we are just after the stage where everything you need to be technical to be able to use this. And right now you could like, I don't know, talk to someone in South America that doesn't know that much about computers or anything. They can get an app in their Android device, and then you can, through the blockchain, send them dollars. And those dollars could be used to pay for stuff, or they could exchange it for their local currency.
Yeah, so I guess you're just basically looking for a button to say, send this to my father who lives 4 countries away from me with a different regulatory system, everything. I just want to do it very simply, at the same time, maintaining all the, I guess, international anti-money laundering laws, all the regulation. You want to keep everything going smoothly and nicely and done through a single button. It's really just exchange of value between people. Yeah, I agree. This is a massive problem, and this really needs a solution to make things really seamless and nice.
Yeah, and to be honest, there is a lot of people that are like OGs to the crypto space that are like, oh, I don't want KYC, I don't want to follow AML. But usually the people that are more for saying something mainstream, for example, my dad, if he needs to download a wallet that asks him like, oh, you need to take a picture of your ID to validate that this is you. Sure, I always do that with my bank. I do this with so many providers. So I feel like for some people, it's a big issue, but for most of the broad user base that could benefit from this, it wouldn't be that much of an issue. So I feel like the space is going to start like growing pretty quick, because we are not going to be trying to fight against regulations, but we are going to start embracing regulations and build on top of that with a good UI that people don't need to be technically savvy for this. And the benefits could be quite straightforward. For example, opening a bank account in Chile for dollars is expensive. It requires so much paperwork, but if you can do it for free in 3 minutes, it's amazing. Payments of things are difficult in other countries, because if you're not using dollars, sometimes you want to pay for something and it online and doesn't accept dollars. So a really big company that was growing really fast in Chile was just a company that was selling Visa gift cards in dollars. And everyone was buying them because, as you mentioned, people wanted to buy stuff, but they couldn't buy them. So a lot of times they would just buy the pirate version or trying to do something illegal because they wouldn't be able to pay for something. But now that the world is being more global and we are embracing other solutions, it gets to be easier and people don't have problems with doing some stuff. Sometimes when you want something and you don't have a way to get that something, it's when you start doing illegal stuff.
Yeah, this has been an interesting conversation about where you are, where you've been, where you're going, where the ecosystem is going, and where Amurgo is going. If people want to know more about Amurgo, where should they go?
So for Cardano, the best website out there is cardano.org. And this website is going to have all the information. What are the entities behind Cardano? If you're a developer, what type of documentation you want to read? Depending on what you're looking for, this website is going to be able to route you all around pretty well. And for Amurgo, if you want to check out a little bit more of us, our website is amurgo.io.
Thank you so much for your time. I feel like technologies like Cardano are really changing the world and rethinking how we exchange value and information. So thank you for joining me today, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you to you as well. Muchas gracias.
Thank you for listening. If you liked the episode, please don't hesitate to like, subscribe, review, download, or share it. My name is Marcel Climo, and I'm from Vacuum Labs, and we'll be back soon with another episode that will give you new insights into digital banking.